Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, Building and Protecting Your Business One Podcast at a Time, a CadSource family production. In this episode, we are going to talk about football, perspectives on building a unique business, and how to tackle properly. Our guest today is Spencer Smith, founder and president at Triple H Tackling Academy. Spencer is a tackling machine, as proven by his years playing for the University of Hawaii football team, where he was Defensive Player of the Year in 2009 and Special Teams Player of the Year in 2008. He played in the 2007 Sugar Bowl and was a member of the academic All-Western Athletic Conference team in 2007, 8, 9, and 10. In 2005, Spencer was voted the most valuable player on his high school football team in Marietta, Georgia. Spencer lives in the Atlanta area today and is currently training Pro Bowl players in the NFL, top-level talent in college, high school players, and peewee football players. Spencer's ultimate goal is to become the first tackling coach in the NFL or NCAA. Due to an increase in CTE and head injuries in football, and due to a decrease in youth participation in football combined with his love for the game, Spencer created Triple H Tackling Academy because he knows that in a controlled and educated environment, football, while it is a physical sport, can be safe. And he works to make football a safer environment for all by teaching proper tackling techniques, which he believes is missing in today's game. Spencer's perspectives on football are incredibly enlightening, but equally so are his views on being a business owner of a niche business, and we are excited to have him on the show. So let's get into it. Spencer, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspective Podcast. It's awesome to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Awesome to be on here. Absolutely. So we're going to get started with about 10 questions requiring a more thoughtful response and end with 10 rapid-fire questions. You ready to get going?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it. So, you heard the intro about you, but of course, we can't do you justice in one opening statement. So, tell us something real about you that the audience doesn't know.
Well, I was just married last year to my wife, Kara, and we just had our first baby girl, Audrey. So,
awesome.
You know, trying to get the business going, but at the same time, trying to get my personal and family life started at the same time.
I get it. So, how's the baby sleeping?
I think she's sleeping fine.
Yeah.
my motto is this, you know, I get a lot of crap for it, but it's this maternity leave, you know?
Yeah.
it's been proven that the mother is better at nurturing the baby than the dad. So my wife is doing a great job, getting her on a schedule and all that. I really have no part. I just hold her when I'm home and try and play with her.
Yeah. Is she learning how to play football yet? Is she tackling you?
No, she's not tackling me yet, but we're going to get her slide tackling.
Yeah, there you're right.
We're going to get her into soccer.
That's smart.
So she's going to be a slide tackler.
Yeah, very smart. Very smart. So obviously we talk about football. That's what you do. You train, you've played. In your day-to-day work at Triple H Tackling Academy, what is your focus and what is your ultimate goal for the business and then yourself?
The ultimate goal for the business is really just to impact as many athletes, young, high school, college, professional, as many athletes as we can, to develop knowledge in how to tackle. With everything going on with CTE and concussions and just a scare of football, you know, the goal is to get more guys participating. We're losing youth participation every year. Last year, I know it was down, I think, 1 million participants. I don't know what it's down this year or if it's up, but it, you know, steadily going down while lacrosse is gaining ground. So you know, we're trying to develop a controlled environment to teach tackling. So you know, parents are more likely to sign their kids up. You know, it's a hot issue right now, and I understand it. They don't want their baby to get hurt, but in any sport you can get hurt. Riding a bike you can get hurt. Driving a car you can get hurt. Playing baseball you can get hurt. But the risk is what makes sports so great. That not everyone can do it. So, but what we want to do is let everyone know that there's a possibility that they can be a football player. And just because there's issues going on with concussions, you know, we have a solution to help with the head injuries, to make them more knowledgeable in their tackle so they're safer going in. They're not just leading with their head and stuff like that. Personal goal, you know, like I said, just impact as many athletes as I can, but I do want to become the first NCAA college or NFL tackling coach.
Yeah, that's an incredible goal, and I, you know, I agree with you. I think you'll get there. And when kids or when athletes, even, you know, whatever level they're coming to you at, when they come out of your program, what has been the feedback so far?
The feedback has been great. You know, I've been implementing this with my team that I've coached for the last 2 years. We went from sixth to seventh. Now we're in eighth grade. We've had zero concussions or shoulder injuries due to tackling. You know, I just recently went in with the CYFA, the Cherokee Youth Football Association. They had no documented concussions from tackling last year. Parents are just telling me that their kid is, like, they say becoming a beast. Every parent says their kid's a beast, but you know, they're saying that they've noticed a huge difference in their ability to tackle. They're going with confidence. They're making impact when they make the tackles. So the parents are seeing it. If the parents are seeing it, you know, then I know the kids are noticing a difference, and the athletes are noticing a difference. And they've told me, you know, one of my college guys told me that he had a concussion, or he had a shoulder injury every year from football until this past season. And that was the only season he worked with me. Didn't have one shoulder injury, didn't have one concussion. Signed up with the Canadian Football League. Just recently got cut, but he was up there for a little stint. So.
Yeah.
The feedback's been great, you know, but it's still a limited number. You know, I still got a lot more room to grow with athletes to get better documentations of all this info that I have.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I mean, it's going really well. The feedback's been positive, both from the athlete, which is really important, but also from the parent and from the coaches.
That says everything right there. And I think we're going to get into a little bit on marketing here in a minute. But, you know, just having that type of feedback where players aren't getting injured because they're using proper form, the technique that you're teaching, obviously that says more than anything. Now, we're moving for a second, all that you do for Triple H Tackling Academy. What is your passion?
My passion is just making a difference, whether it's in sports, whether in somebody's life, but just making a difference. That's all I want to do. I just want to help people out. I know it sounds corny and it's cliche, but that's what I think I'm on this earth to do, is just to help people. I don't like seeing people in bad moods or suffering from certain things. So whatever I can do to help somebody out, you know, that's what I'm going to do. Whether it's my family and my wife, you know, my wife and my baby now, those are my first two passions right now. But you know, I've got to help them. And then after that, I help whoever else I can. Whether it's feeding the homeless, bringing them food that we have, or, you know, getting a kid on my team a brand new pair of cleats because he can't afford it. You know, whatever it may be, I'm willing to kind of step out of that comfort zone just to make a difference in somebody's life, because I've had a lot of people make a difference in mine. So I want, as the movie is, pay it forward. You know, I'm trying to do that.
Absolutely. Well, it's genuine, and you're obviously genuine about it in the conversations we've had and everything that we've seen that you're doing. So that's a very genuine thing.
Stop it.
And there you go. And you got to make a difference, right, with your dogs,
yeah,
too.
Trying to get these guys going. Somebody must ring the doorbell.
That's right. That's all right. That's the realness that we bring on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we have to keep it real, because, I mean, that's what life's all about. And no, that's awesome. That's really good. So going back for a second on what we were talking about before, which is your perspective on marketing, you know, taking into account that your skills are in the areas of training football players, how to tackle, but also knowing that in order to get your brand out there, you need to market yourself in your business. What is your take on marketing today?
It's huge. I mean, it's huge. Marketing is what's getting a lot of these guys recruited to college, even though they're not that good. You know, if they have a good highlight tape, or they can put themselves out there at a camp or on Twitter or whatever social media, you can get offers, you can get looks like that. So I understand that I've got to, you know, get on the social media and the marketing, but I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
I'm young. I'm 29 years old, but I kind of, I'm old school when it comes to technology and kind of a mindset. You know, I'm kind of more word of mouth, like, hey, you know, tell your friend about me and let's have him come in. But, you know, I'm looking to do more marketing. I just, honestly, I have no knowledge of it. I'm not very good at it. You know, I'm personable with people, but I'm not good at, you know, selling my product. Cause I don't like boasting and bragging. I feel like marketing, if I'm marketing myself, it's like I'm bragging about myself, and I don't like doing that. So, you know, most of the time I try and get other people to post stuff, or, you know, help me out. You know, if I have to write a bio, I get my dad to write it, because I don't like writing about myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something I'm not very good at. I think it's just because I don't like bringing an attention to me, like, hey, I'm saying, hey, look at me. You know, but I want people to see what I'm doing and what we're trying to do with Triple H. So that's why, you know, I try and do social media, where it's kind of like a third person, you know, it's not like me saying, hey, look at how good we are. You know, I can kind of, hey, come check us out, you know, stuff like that.
So. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, what you're doing is you know what your strength is, and you're not trying to overly focus on your weakness. Right. I mean, you see that a lot in sports, and I think that's smart. I mean, yeah, of course, at that point, then you have to figure out a way to market yourself. Like you said, word of mouth, just getting started, getting people to talk about your business. But then, you know, finding someone that can help you in that marketing world, I think is a big deal. But going back to knowing your strengths, we see a lot of people in business that they get so focused on what their weakness is and they try to tackle whatever that weakness is. And then they, you know, kind of taken away from where they're, from their bread and butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true, and it like you said, it happens in sports all the time. It happens in the business world all the time. I was in construction for 4 years, didn't know what the heck I was talking about, but I had to make money, you know. And it just I wasn't happy, you know. So it's just you got to follow your passion, and like you said, do what your strengths are, and find people that can help you with your weaknesses. I'm not saying I don't need to work on, because everyone has to work on their weaknesses, but I need someone to help me with that marketing aspect of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then that is what you're talking about, is the part of the running the business part of your business. Mm-hmm. And you have a very unique niche. It's like, and it's not every day you talk to a business owner that teaches people how to tackle. So what is it like running a business in such a unique niche?
It's different. You can ask my wife. When people ask what I do, she's like, he teaches people how to tackle. So yeah, that always stirs up some conversations. So her latest one is she just tells people I'm a dentist. It's a lot easier to explain, you know. But no, it's different. When you say you teach people how to tackle, they're like, wait, what? It's also cool, because when you meet these football guys, they're like, man, I've been looking for something like this for a while, you know. I mean, people have been asking people are Googling all the time how to tackle, you know, how to teach tackling, looking up YouTube videos, stuff like that. So it's cool, you know, when you meet someone who's really interested, it can turn into a really cool conversation. But if somebody doesn't know what you're talking about, it gets pretty awkward pretty quick.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that's a big thing. I think so many businesses now are all over the place, and they're trying to appeal to everyone, and they want everyone to understand what they do. But you have a specific niche. So the person that is Googling, how do I tackle properly, or they're looking on Facebook or Instagram or wherever they may be, and they see a video and they're like, that's what I need. And then all of a sudden they start consuming your content and they want to, you know, do what you're teaching. I think that it's hard at times, because like you said, some people are just not going to understand it at all, but you can't please everybody, as you well know. So
No, you can't. Even with people, when I teach the tackling, you know, I had a parent come in the other day and I started working. He goes, oh, you teach the rugby style tackle? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh man, I just, you know, he had kind of his, you know, assumptions about it, that, you know, his guys were diving, his guys were missing tackles. And I said, well, look, just let me go to this session. Let me see what you think. You know, I'll talk you, because he's a coach too. So I was like, you can stand in and listen. I'll talk you through it as I talk him through it. Within 30 minutes, he said, okay, I understand, man. He signed up for 5 sessions, you know, just on the spot. You know, it's something that it's just like fear, you know, false education appearing real. People are not going to accept this style of tackle until they've really seen it done. You know, it's just like anything. I'm not gonna learn a new way to tie my shoe unless I know it's faster or it's a better way to tie my shoe. You know, they've been taught so long to get your head across or put your head on the ball or put your head in whatever it is that it worked for them, that we're not open to new suggestions, because one, we're scared because we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know how to coach it. We don't know how to teach it. So, you know, coaches are a little bit timid. They're timid on implementing the new techniques because they're not confident in their ability to coach it.
Yeah. No, I imagine so. So, I mean, you make a difference. Some people, you can't sell them, right? You can't convert them into being someone that's going to believe in what you're doing. But, you know, someone gives you a chance. It sounds like to me that once they see what you do, that they're getting into it, right? They want more of what you're putting out. So That's good. So, you know, diving a little bit more into the content that we've created, and I thought this was interesting, and one of the reasons we connected was on our content platform, Sportsypreneur. And, you know, as you know, we create analogies between sports and business. And in fact, it was funny because we were looking at articles and which one ties into what you're doing. And we had an article about getting back to basics. And in it, we talk about how tackling incorrectly can lead to injury. And we are not experts on tackling, but we understand how if people are launching their bodies and doing it improperly, they're going to be hurt. So we compared, you know, to actually not tackling properly to not following proper procedures in business. So really, though, using the Sportsypreneur theme, how would you tie into what you've learned from football, whether that's playing or coaching, to what you're actually doing in business?
It's a cheesy slogan that we use, but practice makes permanent. And that's for business, that's for sports, that's for anything. It's not practice makes perfect. If you're doing something wrong, you know, at some point it's going to catch up. You know, if you're at a construction site, you're supposed to wear a hard hat every day, you know, and you don't wear it, you know, at some point something's going to drop on your head. You know, in football, if I'm practicing carrying a ball on top of my head all week, I carry the ball on top of my head, it makes it permanent. So, you know, just with that, you know, you can't take a shortcut. You've got to put in the hard work, whether it's in the gym or whether it's in the office, staying late hours so you can get your job done. Just everything from sports that I've learned has translated to the work life before I started doing this. Being on time ain't showing up at 8 o'clock when you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock. It's showing up 15 minutes early, 30 minutes early. Accountable to your boss, accountable to your team. Something happens, they can count on you to help pick up the slack, or, you know, they can just depend on you to be there every day. So sports and business, they coincide. I've gotten hired for jobs, you know, I haven't been the smartest one in the room, I haven't been the best looking or the best dressed, but I played sports and that's what separated me. I could handle, you know, high pressure situations, you know, calmly. And you've got to keep a cool head. You know, I was always told fire in the belly, ice in the brain. You know, and that translates to business, because you're going to get pissed off at your boss, you're going to get pissed off at the clients, but you've got to be able to keep that cool head and perform the task that's ahead of you, whether it's, you know, the play, or whether it's a tax paper you got to do, or whether it's, you know, a business proposition, whatever it is, you know, you've got to keep that cool head all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously it's the education, whether it was business or just being told and how to do certain things, and education obviously plays a big part of where you came from. And, you know, we hear a lot about education and how it isn't working. But then for someone who's playing, and you're going to have a different perspective on this, for someone who played a major sport while studying at the University of Hawaii, and you did it while being an academic all-star, what's your take on education as it relates to college athletes?
You know, it's you're there to get an education. Honestly, it's not hard. I mean, throughout school, you know, if you show up every day and you care and you want to, you do your work, you're going to be fine. That's with anything. But it's people who don't care about the work, people who don't want to do it, those are people that struggle. You know, you're there to get an education and play football. You're at 12 hour credit hours or whatever a semester. It's not hard. It's like two or two classes a day. You just got to show up and go. If you show up and go to class every day, it's easy, because you're gonna learn. You're taking notes. You don't have to do all this studying that people are talking about. If you go to class, in my opinion, if you go to class every day, you don't have to study for hours and hours on end, book cram it all at the end, because you should have your notes. You should kind of remember. You should memorize this stuff, not just trying to write it down so you can read it later. Like, try and learn it, you know. Just like a playbook, you know, you don't study the night before the game. You know, you go all week and learn the installations, and you learn that, and then you move to the next thing. You know, it's the same with education. If you show up every day and you care about your education, you can accomplish anything. I mean, I'm not trying to put a foot in my mouth, but I didn't study but more than maybe 5 hours in college, and I graduated 3.0. you know, that's because I went to class every day, I listened, I pay attention, and I cared, you know, because I knew I had to be eligible to play.
Yeah, it's part of the game, right? You have to do certain things in order to play. Yeah. So it's hard, though, too, because you'll go to class and then you have practice, and the NCAA doesn't allow you to have a job, or at least during certain times of the year, right? Or if you have a job, you can only work, I think, a certain amount of hours. Do you, because of all of that, and I don't know if this is something you can even address, and if you can't, that's okay, but do you think college athletes should get paid?
I don't know if necessarily they should get paid, but I think the scholarship checks that you receive should be a little bit bigger. You know, at least I know you're not allowed to have, or in certain places, you're not allowed to have just an athletic dorm or an athletic cafeteria that's just catered to you guys. But I think that should be, because I mean, you're putting in extra work than that student contribute money. I think that they should take a little bit better care of you while you're at school. You know, my junior senior year, I ate McDonald's every day because that's all I could afford out in Hawaii. You know, I had $150 to spend.
Wow.
So I'm buying McChickens every day, you know. But would I trade that for anything else in the world? No. The experiences I had in football, I wouldn't change for anything. But I do think that the players should be compensated more in the food that they eat, because that you need to fuel your body. You know, and provide them with a living situation that's comfortable, not just like a regular dorm. Give them a little bit more. You know, we're contributing more to the school. Why don't we get more?
Getting
paid, he's the starter and he's the bench runner. How much is it? You know, then you get into, well, he's the quarterback. He should be getting paid $5,000. The running back should get paid this. No, it should be, if you're on the team and you're on scholarship, you don't have to worry about paying for food. Like, you should have unlimited food access at a very high class cafeteria. The NCAA should have it all even throughout every program, the amount of food that goes in. If you can buy more food because you're Alabama or Georgia, then, you know, you add on to the donations to that. But the NCAA, in my opinion, should donate the same amount of money to every school for food, books, and tuition, and up it a little bit, because they're making money and they should invest back into their athletes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. And then now you add on, and every team travels, right? But you played mm-hmm. for Hawaii, so, and we've seen the numbers, right? But it's I would assume that Hawaii traveled more than any other major college football program. And so, like, when you combine that with your education and with, like, what you're talking about and eating on the road, what was it like with the travel that you had to do? I'm sure you had great experiences, but mm-hmm. how did that tie in with everything else that you had going on in just your life?
Man, it's a little extra stress, but I like it, man. I like not being in class, you know. Like,
yeah.
To me, that's because we'd leave, you know, some days we'd be on a road trip for 2 weeks because we do back-to-back road games instead of flying back and then flying, you know, waste some money on hotel or on flights and just the jet lag. We'd stay in, you know, Vegas or something for 2 weeks. We'd play a game, we'd come back and train and go back to our next game, and then we'd go home. But you know, it's a little out of stress, but the coaches allow you time to do your class work. All still available. We had our academic advisors on road trips with us. You know, they put us with teachers during the season that understood the travel and would, you know, be accommodating to let us do work on the road. And if we need to take a test, you know, they'd give it to our academic advisors to supervise the test. You know, I think it was easier because you're not held by that school schedule, and going to school, you're actually able to kind of do it based off practice. It's almost like another training camp, but with a little bit of school involved in it, so you get your classwork done. But you know, eating on the road, eating in the hotels, that's always good. There's always really good food in the hotels, so I like traveling more than I like being at home, because I feel like I got a little bit more pampered and I got a little bit more rest too, so
yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. So you go on the road and you played it. We've talked about this a little bit. You played in some pretty cool environments. Obviously, just playing in Hawaii by itself has got to be amazing. So then, you know, looking through your schedule, and you had mentioned this before, but you played against the Florida Gators in the Swamp in 2008, and that was the year the Gators beat Oklahoma for the national championship. And I think that was the opening game, if I remember correctly. What was that like going into the Swamp for their opening game, knowing, like, I think Urban Meyer was the coach at the time, Tim Tebow was the quarterback, you know,
Percy Harvin, Brandon Spikes,
yeah.
What's his name, Brandon James, the running back or the returner.
Just loaded, right?
Stacked. You know, we just got off our Sugar Bowl loss to Georgia, lost our head coach, June Jones, which really hurt. But, you know, we were ready. You know, we knew it was going to be a tough task. We knew, you know, nothing to lose. It was a great, great atmosphere. One of my favorite places to play. I was only on special teams that year, but, you know, end of the first quarter, we're 0-0 with Florida. So, you know, no one's expecting that at the end of the first quarter. So the student section behind me started hounding me. And they're like, hey, 31, you ever getting in the game? And I go, if we ever kick off, yeah. And, you know, or if we ever punt or if we ever return a punt, whatever, I just need to get on the field for special teams because we kept having a turnover or it just, you know, we'd do in a safe punt because they'd be in a, you know, kind of a stick. We'd be kind of in our territory. So we'd be in safe punt. So I wouldn't go or safe punt return. So I wouldn't be out
right.
there.
Well, because Percy Harvin's probably maybe returning the punt too, right? So don't kick it to him. Yeah.
Yeah. And Brandon James, I think. James, yeah. He was, yeah, God, he was unbelievable. But finally we punted and I started jogging out on the field and the student section just goes absolutely nuts because they're just talking trash to me the entire game. I don't know why they picked me out, but they picked me out of everyone. Cause there's people who don't even see the field. At least I was on special teams, you know, but they just came after me. And then when I got on, man, they were all cheering me on.
Yeah.
You know, and we lost, I think it was like 56-7 or something. It was a big score. Yeah. But, you know, stuff like that, that's where you learn. We were a young team with a new head coach, and they won the national championship. So, you know, we can't be saying, oh, we could have beat them, you know, and stuff like that. They were a really good team. They had the best player in the country, couple of the best players in the country. But, you know, and Tim Tebow, one of the best college players to ever play.
Yeah.
Just an absolute monster. You know, I'm a sophomore looking at him like, geez, Louise, he is.
Yeah.
He is the real deal.
Yeah, and someone's got to go tackle him because it's not only a good player, but he's a big guy, and someone's got to try and get down on him, and it's not easy. So, you know, he's probably causing injuries, and you know, just he's an example of a player. And you see some of these running backs or fullbacks or even the size of these receivers are, it's nuts right now what's going on. So you hear tons about injuries in football, right? And specifically, as you've already addressed, is head injuries. You know, I watch a ton of football and I'm amazed at how violent the game can be. But I also know that, like, and you mentioned this before, and this has been proven out, that riding a bike is more likely to cause a head injury than actually playing football. But the media talks so much about the issues with football. And like you said before, like the amount of people, amount of kids actually playing the sport is going way down. How do you educate parents on the risks of playing football and giving them the truth and teaching them in the right way?
Just trying to find platforms to speak, you know, like being here today, you know, hopefully we'll have some people listening and, you know, they'll have a little bit more confidence and, you know, hopefully they'll reach out and want to hear some more about it, you know, the way we teach. But it's all about just being able to get in front of the parents, get in front of organizations and just speak about it, you know, tell them how we teach it. You know, we break it down to three components of the tackle: getting into position, the contact and the finish. Within those components, we're working on stuff like in position, we're working on how to track the near hip, you know, how to get in position on a leverage tackle if I have another guy helping me out, in an open field tackle, you know, coming to balance, what do I got to do, in the strike phase, we talk about our head placement, we talk about our shoulder placement, how to use our arms when we wrap, you know, what to do with our feet. So we're not just saying, hey, you know, get them to the ground and hey, put your head back here because that's safer. You know, we're trying to educate not only our parents, but our athletes so that, you know, they understand. When you understand something, you're better at it and you're more likely to do it. But, you know, just giving the parents the confidence, just showing them that, hey, there's a way out here to help your kid. Not saying we're going to totally eliminate concussions because, hey, your head might end up where it doesn't need to be or something might happen. But that's what, like I'm saying, that's what makes sports great. The risk is what makes sports great. Not everyone can play football. Everyone wants to think they can play football, but not everyone can play football. Not everyone can play basketball. Not everyone can play baseball. Not everyone's a mathematician. Not everyone's a lawyer. Not everyone's a doctor. That's what makes it great. And like you said earlier, we're trying to accommodate too many people to make them feel good about, hey, yeah, you're a football player. You know, be on this. No, maybe you're not. Let's try soccer. Let's try this. Let's try that. You know, because there is the physicality of football. And when we're trying to teach our athletes to be safe, but by any means, we're not taking away from the physicality of the game. I still want to put my shoulder on somebody. And I want to take them down to the ground, you know? And I think letting parents know that it gives them confidence because you're not saying, hey, my kid's going to be completely safe, but hey, if my kid plays hard and does these techniques, he can be a pretty good football player and be a lot safer doing it. Every parent knows there's a risk playing a sport. There's more. My daughter, I want to get her to play soccer. There's more concussions in women's soccer than any other sport in the world. But, you know, that's what makes sports great to me. And I'm not saying she's going to be a great soccer player, but that's the sport I want her to play because it's fun for me to watch.
Yeah.
You know, but I understand those risks. It's just like people go to out tan in the sun. They know they can get skin cancer, but they're still out there. People get in a car every day knowing they get into a car crash, and they're still in them every day.
Yeah.
It's just media puts a spin on it to make it scarier than it is. I mean, in lacrosse, you're telling me you can't get hit with a stick in the head or a ball in the head and get a concussion? You gotta be kidding me. It's just as physical as football.
Yeah.
Same with hockey, but it's, you know, it's just where the media is at right now. Football is the number one sport in the U.S., and so it's going to get the most attention.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, with football getting so much attention and so much being talked around CTE and head injuries, do you think 20 years from now that we're going to be seeing a different type of game being played?
I hope not.
Yeah.
But I also hope so. I hope that we're not going to get away from the physicality, but, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, Triple H and what we're trying to do can make a difference in the way we're trying to tackle, and make a difference in the way that the game flows, in the sense that it's more of an art rather than just a bunch of guys running full speed, trying to take each other out, missing tackles, and, you know, we're getting all these elaborate 60-yard touchdowns. I want to make football a game of skill and a game of physicality, but also a game of finesse where, hey, I'm in position, I'm just going to make this tackle. I'll get my big hit when the time comes. But all I need to do is get in position, make the tackle, as line always play the next down. So I do want to see it in a different place, but also I don't, because I think if anything, it's going to be we're not going to have the same talent level because we're losing youth participants. So the NFL game is going to suffer. People don't want to talk about, you know, but we need to do a better job with our youth. We don't need to be worrying about our high school and our middle school or our high school and college, because they're established. They know they want to play, but we've got to get more of our younger guys playing. So we've got to be able to teach them safer ways to play so that we're getting them in. Because if we're not getting Adrian Peterson playing in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, guess what? He's probably not playing in high school. He's probably not going to play in college, and he's not going to be in the NFL.
Yep.
You know, we're going to have a bunch of me's running around there playing, which isn't a good thing. You know, we need some athletes out there.
Yeah.
So.
No, I get it. Well, I mean, you still have a chance to get these kids in. So if a kid leaves for a couple of years and they still are young, they still have a chance to get in. You know, and the point I'm getting at is specialization in new sports. Pick any sport, it doesn't really matter. You know, I believe that kids should be playing all different sports, be a well-rounded athlete. But again, I didn't play at University of Hawaii in Division I football. Like, what's your take on specialization, and do you think you have a chance to get these kids back through a program like yours to say, hey, let me show your kid how to play football the right way?
Yeah, specialization to me is it's crazy. One, a kid doesn't know what he wants to do. So most of the time it's the parent kind of bringing him here and there, kind of showing what they want him to do. But to me, even with specialization, football to me shouldn't be played till 5th or 6th grade, unless you're going to play flag football and learn the basics, because the pads constrict their movements. And at a young age, you want, like you're saying, you want to become an overall athlete, so you need to learn how your body moves. So being able to climb a tree, play soccer, play basketball, play football in the yard, play flag football, play baseball, play lacrosse. Doing all these sports are going to just make you a better athlete. Even when you're in high school, you know, coaches want you just to do one sport. I think that's ass backwards. My coaches, they wanted me to wrestle after football because it was going to make a difference for football. Then they wanted me to run track because it was going to make me faster for football. You know, you can work out all you want, but there's no substitute for being on a wrestling mat one-on-one with somebody, and it's you versus him. You know, hey, mano a mano, let's go. You know, track, you can work speed, but there's nothing like racing against somebody and seeing who the faster person is and putting in that work to be faster. So I think we hurt our kids. I think one, they burn out from the sport because they're specializing in it. Like, there's no get back to it. Like, I used to love coming back to football. I was like, God, wrestling season's over. God, I can't wait for football. Because wrestling was so hard. You know, like, I would look forward to football. But kids are in football all the time now that there's no, they don't miss it. They don't miss the sport. You know, my father used to tell me, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, if you're not away, if you're not in the game, you know, you're going to miss it. And if you miss it, you're going to have a little bit more passion for it. And when you miss it, you're going to train a little bit harder. And even if they're just playing one sport, take 2 months off. Get away from it. Give yourself a mental break from it, because we're burning out. We don't have the passion of football that we have. It's about money. It's about being recruited. It's not about, hey, if we take away your scholarship, we take away your paycheck, are you still going to play? That's what I want. I want the kids who are going to play because they love the game, and they'll make money doing it. They'll get a scholarship because they're good. But at the end of the day, they're playing because they love it. And those are the athletes we want, but we don't have those anymore, really, because all they're doing is football, 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 football year-round, or soccer, 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 baseball, 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 baseball. You know, it's sad because a lot of our kids aren't getting to be kids. You know, they're college athletes already in fifth grade, going to lessons 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, so when I do lessons, don't get me wrong, I do lessons with young kids, but it's also because I don't want them sent to the jerk down the street who's going to tell them that they're not any good. They're a six-year-old kid. I make them fun. I try and have sessions fun for them, because if they're having fun, they're going to get better and not even realize it. You know, at that age, we're just trying to get these kids to be able to move their bodies so that they become effective athletes and they can do whatever sport they want when they're older.
Yeah. What do you say to the coach? You know, there's the team that won, the high school that won the state basketball championship in North Carolina this year. They're incredible, right? And they're playing against some top-level talent. And there was a soccer player, he's a goalie, one of the top goalies for their high school soccer team, but basketball was a bigger sport there. And coach made him pick, you know, if you play soccer, you're off the basketball team. So if you want to play basketball, you got to quit the soccer team. I mean, now they won their state championship, so the results speak for that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I don't know where he's going. He's not NBA talent. I don't know if he's getting a scholarship. I don't know all those specifics, but
yeah, you know, that's tough. You know, because in high school, you know, as a coach, I want them to supplement things that they're doing to make them better. He can still work out with the basketball team and play soccer.
Yeah.
It's not going to conflict. They're in two different seasons. I don't agree with that. You know, and we're always so worried about wins and losses. My parents on my football team, they hate me sometimes because they'll ask me, do you care about winning? No, I don't. I don't care about winning, losing. Do I want to win? Hell yeah, I want to win. I'm competitive. But I want our team to perform their best. It's about performance. It's not about winning or losing. It's about performing. I can play bad and win, but can you play great and lose? That's the question. Are you going to play great even though you're losing? You know, we never want to play down to our competition. I feel like, you know, we allow that because we specialize, but also, you know, like I'm saying, they're burned out. They're not getting excited to play. Let the kid play soccer and then come back to basketball because he's probably going to enjoy it a lot more. He's going to play with a lot more heart. He's going to perform better. You know, if he's just there because he has to be, it's like a job. People hate their job. They do just enough not to get fired. If he doesn't like playing basketball, but he's there because he don't want to get cut from the team, he's going to do just enough not to get cut. And he's not going to enjoy it. You're not going to get the best out of the athlete. I don't agree with that. But at the same time, they won a state championship, so I'm not going to knock the coach on it. But I just don't. I don't agree because they're in two different seasons.
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, you're talking a lot about, and this is another article we wrote, is about enjoy the journey. Whatever that journey is that you're on, enjoy it. And that's kind of, I think, what you were talking about when, yeah, of course you love winning. Of course you're ultra competitive, but you are going to enjoy the journey. And there's so much now, like in pro sports, we see it, especially in the NBA or in any sport, you know, there's ring chasing going on right now. And mm-hmm. It's like, get on the best team and you have to win. And if you don't win, you're unsuccessful. And then you start talking about certain players like Adrian Peterson or Barry Sanders, like they never won, you know, they won games and they won, you know, rushing titles and whatnot, but they never won the championship. But did they not enjoy what the journey that they were on? I bet if we had them on right now, they'd be like, they loved every second of it. And so you can enjoy the journey without actually winning the state championship or winning whatever it is you're going after in business.
And that's part of the drive, you know, for Adrian Peterson not win the championship. You know, he works every day for that. He works every day to be at his highest level so he can perform every day to help his team get there. But you can only control what you can control. If your team doesn't make it and you perform your best all season long, you have nothing to hang your head down on. You know, stand up proud about it. You rushed for 2,000 yards, but you didn't make the Super Bowl. Hey, you did all you could do. You know, does it hurt you didn't make the playoffs or that you lost in the playoffs or you lost in the Super Bowl? Hell yeah, it does. But if you can leave the field knowing that you gave everything you got as a team and as a coaching staff or whatever your role is on the team, you can, you know, you should be upset about it. You got 24 hours to mourn about it, but then it's on to the next season, on to the next game, on to the next goal, whatever it is, you know. But we worry so much about the championships, about the wins and the losses, that we forget about, hey, let's perform. Like you said, you go back to the fundamentals, back to the basics, you know. We've got to perform those so we can be better at what we want to accomplish, you know. And that's going to help us with our performance. That's going to help us win. The basics are going to help you win, because if you're good at those, you're going to perform better and you have a better chance to win.
Yeah, I get it. Well, there is a lot of fear with losing. There's a lot of fear we've talked about with injuries in football, whether it's parents or people playing the game. What is your biggest fear in your business life?
Biggest fear, I guess just not having anyone come to me anymore, you know, yeah, just that yeah. people don't like what I do.
It runs dry, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, as for what I believe in, if people don't believe in it, I don't fear that. I'll talk to them all I want. I don't fear when a parent is yelling at their kid and I got to tell them to be quiet on the sideline. That's part of it. Like, you know, too many parents try and coach on the sideline. That's not your job. If anything, I'll probably lose clients because I tell too many parents to stop talking while I'm coaching. I offer them to come out on the field and coach if they want. Because, you know, if you're so good, come out here and do it, you know. So my biggest fear is probably I'll probably get booted out of my coaching job or out of the facility on that because, you know, I don't like when, you know, I don't go to their job and tell them how to put up my garage door, or how to, you know, build my house. I let them do it, you know. I'd rather be hated than pitied. So that's probably my biggest downfall sometimes, is that I probably step on too many toes, especially as 29 years old when I'm telling a 50-year-old parent, you know, hey, can you keep quiet while I'm coaching your kid? You know, like, it gets awkward sometimes. So I guess my biggest fear is that parents don't bring their athletes to me anymore.
yeah. No, and it makes sense. And we see it, you know, I've coached baseball and basketball and soccer and all these things. And you always say, like, it's the coaching behind the fence. You'd see them on the other side of the fence and they know everything that's going on. You're like, you know, are you taking time out of your day to coach? If you want to do it, like you're saying, come on out here and do it. Yeah. And it's not easy, right? You don't have an easy job to try and get through to a kid to teach them how to do what you're trying to get them to do. And mm-hmm. a lot of parents, like we've talked about before, your strength is this, their strength is something else, and let's go forward with that. And shouldn't that be enough? Yeah. But it usually isn't.
No, and that's the problem, you know, and what they're saying isn't wrong. You know, it's just when I'm trying to teach the tackling, especially with a young athlete, you know, we concentrate on one thing at a time because I'll say work on their head placement, and they're, hey, wrap them up. It's like, now all he's concentrating on is wrapping him up, and now he's not working on his head placement. So there's a step-to-step approach that we do to this. So what I do to a lot of parents now is I'm like, hey, just trust me. Everything's not going to be there when you see it, but I work on it step-by-step, and when it's all said and done, you'll see it all together. Because, you know, the parent wants to see results now. And I'm like, give me an hour. Give me an hour, and you'll see it, you know. Yeah. But it's just it's tough because they confuse the kid. You know, the kid's always looking at their dad. That's one thing that drives me nuts. I hate when athletes look at their parent for satisfaction. Their parent has nothing to do with what's going on this field. They're not going to help them one bit because I don't care what they have to say. You know, they're not going to get them out of any trouble that they're in. If they're in trouble and their dad gets mad, hey, get them off the field. I'm fine with you going home. You know, so that's probably the hardest thing is dealing, you know, with that, because all our kids now, all our athletes, they're needy. They're needy. They need mommy and daddy's approval. I couldn't wait to get to practice so I could be away from my parents. You know, like, that was like my out, so I wasn't being told what to do all the time. You
That's
know,
right.
but we're becoming too needy as a culture. We're trying to, like you said earlier, we're trying to accommodate everyone to make them feel good about who they are, what they are, who they date, all this type of stuff. Who cares? Just go about your daily life and put in the hard work that you need to do, whether it's for sports, whether it's for work, and just go about it. No one cares that I'm, you know, married and that I have a business unless they're into the business. But, like, I don't look for people to make me feel good about myself. Like, it's a grind out there, and we're just becoming too needy as a culture and as a community. You know, our kids don't know how to lose. They don't know how to battle adversity. Because in schools, we're not allowed to play in competitions. I got an athlete who got kicked out of playing basketball because he made a kid cry because he beat him so bad. What's wrong about that? Step onto a different court then. step onto a court where you know you can beat somebody. Don't come onto my guy's court who's a phenomenal athlete, and then you lose and you start crying. Like, and then he goes to the teacher, and my athlete gets in trouble. I told him next time, I said, it happens again, beat him again. He did, and he got kicked out of PE.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're speaking it, you know, that's the issue we have is it's very sensitive culture that we have right now. And, you know, you're bringing a lot of honest perspective to this. And I appreciate that because that makes a difference. We love the transparency that exists in our business. And, you know, we encourage that for our clients to be transparent with whatever they're doing. So your honest perspectives make a big difference.
Don't go anywhere because we are going into some rapid fire questions right after we thank our sponsor. West Conner Insurance is a leading property and casualty agency in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks to their love of entrepreneurialism and insurance, they have sponsored this podcast. You can find the office of West Conner Insurance on Providence Road in South Charlotte, North Carolina, near the new developments of Waverly Place and Ray Farms. If you are looking to get a quote on your auto or home insurance policy, give Wes and his staff a call at 704-665-5340, or you can find them online at wesconner.com.
That ends more of the thoughtful approach, and we want to enter into the rapid fire round now.
Hi, I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm
let's ready. Do it. So we'll go quick. I'm the jugs machine, and you're the receiver. So a few may be a bit more difficult, but take your time on those, and we'll get going. So what book are you reading right now?
I haven't read a book since sixth grade, The Whipping Boy.
Okay, there we go. So what is your favorite social media network and why?
Instagram, because it's easy for me to use.
What social media app do you just not get?
Snapchat.
That's a common one we hear a lot. What is, and you sort of addressed this a little bit before, but what is the number one way you drive a new business?
Word of mouth, really. Word of mouth is for me.
Yeah. What is the one thing you would tell an up-and-coming entrepreneur to focus on?
Your passion.
What is a personal story that got you where you are today?
Just really hard work and persistence. Really eighth grade year playing football, riding the bench. I'd find a knee every game. I wouldn't move unless we were up by 40 points. I'd get in. That summer, I didn't miss one summer workout. I played varsity for all 4 years at my high school.
Wow.
I went from riding the bench as a football player, sixth grade and eighth grade. Started 4 years at varsity, told I wasn't going to be able to play college football. Got a scholarship. So I wasn't going to be able to start there. There, you know, got a new head coach, transferred in after after 2 years. He didn't like me very much. Was kind of getting ready for me to transfer, but I didn't want to let him win. You know, the adversity is what I like. And a lot of our athletes, you know, if they're not starting at their high school, their parents are willing to move to get them to a new one. Now, if they're not starting their first year at Alabama, they're transferring so they can start somewhere else. Like, the adversity is what's going to make you as a man or a woman. And we shy away from it too much. There's nothing wrong with going to Alabama and you not playing till your senior year. There's nothing wrong with that because you've busted your butt and you've earned what you had. So, you know, I played and trained with a chip on my shoulder, and I coach still with a chip on my shoulder because I'm still doubted as a coach because, I mean, you look at me, I'm 5'11", white safety who played in college. You know, it's you know, you line me up with a lot of other trainers, they're going to pick the other trainers over me until they kind of see how I coach. And then they kind of change that around. But I'd say just the hard work and persistence ever since that eighth grade year.
Yeah, that's an awesome story. So right now, who's the best tackler in the NFL?
Earl Thomas, Eric Berry, and Luke Kuechly.
Okay. Who are some of the players you're currently training, if you're allowed to talk about that, and what team do they play for in any league?
Okay, I got three guys in the NFL that I'm working with. Quincy Moje with the Atlanta Falcons, Reggie Davis with the Atlanta Falcons. They both came from the University of Georgia, but also my guy Brendan Langley. He was from Lamar University, got drafted third round by the Broncos, plays cornerback, phenomenal athlete. Got a couple guys from Kennesaw State, I got a guy from Auburn, guy from Ball State. I don't want to say their names just in case they're NCAA violations.
That's right.
Got a couple of kind of lower lower college athletes. Got a couple of great high school athletes. I got a quarterback who's a sophomore. Hadn't taken one start yet as a high school quarterback. Already has four offers.
Wow.
You know, I got another guy who's going to be an upcoming freshman. He is going to be the real deal, Harrison Allen. Remember that name. He's going to be the real deal.
That's good.
Linebacker. He's a beast. And I got some younger athletes as well that are really good. This guy Bailey Avey, he's going to be a freshman at Kell High School. Absolute freak. I think he could be probably the best player to ever leave the high school if he keeps his head on straight and keeps working. We got this guy, we call him Looch. He's in eighth grade. He's probably going to be like 6'4", 6'5", and just a terror if he keeps working, though. But this is all based off if they keep working and they keep growing, because I've seen it. I've seen guys that have been way better athletes than me, and then come senior year, I'm running, you know, 0.3 seconds faster than them on the 40. I'm stronger than them. You know, my footwork's better than them, because there's also the guy on my team who's not very good, but I give him more attention than I give my better guys, because I was that kid. I was the kid who was riding the bench, you know. So there's no telling what can happen in 4 years of high school. But right now, those are probably my top guys. You know, hopefully we'll get some more. I just met with Grady Jarrett of the Falcons yesterday. Hopefully we can get him into the facility here soon. And then we're just going to continue trying to grow.
That's awesome. You can keep that up. I mean, it's amazing, too, because you can start these kids so young and, like you're talking about, grow them into high school, college, NFL, and that's when you're going to start getting tons of looks from teams, like, how are these guys learning what they're learning? And it's going to be, they're going to look to you. So it's playing that long game for sure. You'll see wins start happening down the road that you had worked on today or in the past. So it's pretty amazing. Yeah. And I mean, you got kids from the sounds of it that are what, 5, 6 years old, all the way up into the NFL. Is that right?
Yeah, I do have some guys who are 5 or 6.
Having
it's
fun
tough
with them.
Working.
Yeah,
yeah, it's tough. It's tough working with that age, because I don't change the way I coach them from the way I coach my NFL guys. I have the same standards for them that they're going to do the drills right. Do I know that the talent levels aren't going to be the same? Yes, I understand that. But from an aspect of doing the drills right, being focused, I don't hold them any less accountable than I hold my NFL guys or my college guys, because that's the problem. We don't hold our youth accountable. We let them take the easy way out. I want them to do things the right way, even if it is the hard way. You know, it's got to be done right. And that's my biggest battle with some of my younger guys, because they get discouraged. They're not used to a coach telling them that they're doing something wrong, that they're not doing it right. Not that they're doing it wrong, they're not doing it right. I you know, I'm not in the demolition business. I'm in the construction business. I'm trying to build these athletes up. So, you know, I'm not just telling them everything they do is wrong, or, hey, that wasn't right. You know, hey, man, that was a great job, but, hey, I got to see this, you know. Because you know, you've got to coach these guys a little bit different, but you still got to be hard on them. So it's kind of find that happy medium between the two.
Yeah, that's good. So moving on, football season, NFL season's about to begin. We'd like to ask our guests the Super Bowl prediction that they have. So who's going to win the Super Bowl this coming year?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There you go, Jameis.
Jameis, DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, yeah. O.J. Howard, Doug Martin, I think it's Charlie Sims or whatever his name is. Their offense is stacked. Their defense is going to be strong. The Falcons should have won it last year, and I think the Bucs were better than the Falcons last year. They just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
So the Buccaneers can stay healthy. I think they might surprise some.
Yeah, they were young too. Yeah, and there's always a team, it seems like, out of the NFC South that every single year is making a run. So.
Yeah.
This is the Bucs year. I like it. All right. We appreciate having you on this, Spencer. How can people connect with you, whether social, email, phone, whatever you like? Let people know now.
You can call me, 404-323-7162. You can email me at triplehtacklingacademy@gmail.com. You can go on our website at triplehtacklingacademy.com, and that's spelled TRIPLEH Tackling Academy. Or you can find us on social media at Triple H Tackling Academy. We have Twitter, we have Instagram, and we have Facebook. And I just created a Snapchat. That's what one of my athletes, the only way he has to talk to me. So I had to create one of those. And that one's HHH Tackling a CAD.
All right. We'll put all that down in the description so people don't have to like get their pen and paper out or rewind this. But yeah, we'll get that down in the show notes description. So thank you, Spencer, for taking time to be on this podcast. You have a great business going, and we're excited about watching you grow it. Best of luck, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Spencer, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From the unique business Spencer is running to the education he provides around the current state of football to allowing us to think differently about our own business, the work he does matters, and it allows CADSource to interview a great person like Spencer and create new content like this podcast. The perspectives he brings to the athletes he trains and on this podcast specifically are now perspectives you as a business owner, entrepreneur, athlete, or parent can use for yourself. And for that, Spencer, thank you. And for any parent, athlete, or entrepreneur that is looking to tackle properly or build and manage a unique business, I would encourage you to reach out to Spencer Smith. He is someone that has impacted many people with his coaching and overall passion for the game of football. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to Spencer as we discussed, or you can contact me directly. You can contact me on Twitter at @Eric_Kaz or with the same name on Instagram, or you can find us at CADSource.com with links to us on the different social networks. Thank you for listening to our CADSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, Building and Protecting Your Business One Podcast at a Time. Until next time, we're out of here.
A big thanks to West Conner Insurance for their support to the insurance community and for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.